Stellar Fundraising Auctions presents Black Tie and Tails, brought to you by our partner, Sojourn Ventures, with your hosts, fundraising auctioneers Greg Kuroga and Devon Bell, and featuring special guest Michael Irvine of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Sonoma Valley.
Welcome to Black Tie and Tails, where we share tales of triumph and tragedy from behind the scenes in the wonderful world of fundraising auctions. I'm Greg Kuroga, half of your co-hosting team, along with my co-host, Devon Bell.
Hello, all.
And today we are on site at the Boys and Girls Club of Sonoma Valley, joined by our guest, Michael Irvine, Vice President of Development and Marketing for the club. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks for, well, I welcome you because you're here in my house, but thanks for being here.
We appreciate it. And for all the viewers, if you're listening, we'll explain this to you, but hanging behind us are a bunch of pennants. What do these pennants represent, Michael?
This is our middle school room. So just a little encouragement for our teens and our middle schoolers to start seeing kind of what their future could potentially look like.
And are these schools that boys and like club kids have gone on to?
Club kids, staff members, maybe just family favorites. We, you know, both have Oregon Ducks over our shoulders with our own connections.
Got it. Nothing like a little collegiate inspiration.
Yeah. Right, a little pitch for the Ducks.
Because they need financing.
Right.
The Ducks they're hurting. By my math, Michael, we've worked together for 8 years now.
That's
a lot of sweetheart galas. And every February, the sweetheart is one of the top events of the year in Sonoma. And how important is the sweetheart to development for the club as a whole?
Sweetheart's huge for us. If all goes well, it'll make up 25% of the nut that my team and I have to crack each year. So, it's a big deal. It takes about 25% of our team time. There's four of us on the development team. And so it's a year-round effort for one and a good chunk of the year for the rest of us.
And that actually, it's nice when it balances out. There are organizations out there, I hear, where the fundraiser takes up like 80% of their time, but doesn't generate 80%. So good on that. And one of the things I love about the sweetheart is every year's theme works so well. And today's episode is theme is the theme. And Devo and I have plenty of theme stories to tell.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. But we want to start with you, Michael. And let's take last year's sweetheart or a more recent sweetheart, for example, and dive in. So last year was Top Gun.
Yes, 2024 was Top Gun.
And Top Gun was fun.
It was a lot of fun. We had a ton of fun. It helped. So maybe take a step back with Sweetheart. We have a couple events a year. I'll take it further step back. We have a couple events a year, one being Cowboy Cab, which benefits our teen programming. That's the same event each year, which has its own challenges, getting people excited to come and attend and be a part of it. Sweetheart is a little easier in that regard because we have a different honoree each year. And then we set a theme based on the honoree, usually in conjunction with that honoree. And so folks will come to support the Boys and Girls Club. They'll come to support that honoree, or they'll just come because the theme sounds like a ton of fun and they want to go to a Top Gun party.
Got it. We'll jump ahead to how you implement the theme, but how do you pick the theme? Like how do you go about choosing what theme you're going to do? Because we were trying to remember and brainstorm all the themes that you've had over the years. And I would say the one consistency to your themes is there's no consistency.
Yep.
They're not all down the same track.
Yep. Yeah. Did you have your honoree give input into Top Gun as a theme?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, that one was the easiest theme that I think I've ever done in 25 years of events. It just, as soon as we picked the honoree and they said yes, we knew what the theme was going to be. There's no discussion needed. It was a wonderful couple in town. He used to be our board chair and was a fighter pilot in the Navy. Loved the Top Gun movie. There's actually even further connections with their personal life around the Top Gun movie. So it just wrote itself. It was super fun and easy. Other times it's a little more challenging. I remember just before COVID, we had this wonderful honoree and he's a former club kid. And the theme we settled on in 2020 was the best is yet to come.
I mean, that's a totally valid theme to have. It's just the foreshadowing of that is a little ironic.
I don't know if we just shifted into bad themes unintentionally.
I'll get you a bad theme later. That theme was great for 2 weeks.
So that one was tough just in terms of settling on something because that person didn't have a favorite travel destination or favorite cuisine or anything like that to really base it off of. So sometimes it can be challenging to change it up each year. But 20 2025 was our 40th annual Sweetheart. So keeping it fresh is important. And thankfully, we've been able to do that the last few years.
And you said, but I want to dive a little deeper. You said favorite food, favorite travel destinations. Are these points of interest that you are trying to get your honorees to incorporate? Are you trying to incorporate those into the theme with your honorees?
Into the theme, into the menu, into the barn menu, into anything that we can. So we try to make it special and honor them. So our honoree this past year was of Irish, or is of Irish heritage. She's still with us.
Right.
Wasn't that crazy of a party.
we tried.
And so we had an Irish pub in our computer clubhouse.
Great.
Naturally. So the theme was New York. She lived in New York City, met her husband in New York City, or lived there shortly after they met. So that holds a special spot in her heart. So our theme was New York City, but we had an Irish pub set in New York City with the theme. So it all depends. We'll ask about, I mentioned favorite travel destinations, favorite movies, favorite artists. A couple years ago, we themed our event off a Monet painting. You never know.
Great color theme, I'm sure. The colors must have been
beautiful. It was a lot of fun. We have a very talented, our director of events is incredibly talented with graphic design. She had a ton of fun coming up with all the signage and things. We brought in same computer clubhouse that was an Irish pub this year. We brought in a working 7-foot-high concrete fountain and had the water going inside and all of that. And I think about $15,000 in plants that a local donor was nice enough to lend us that we didn't have to purchase.
Right.
So we turned our computer clubhouse into a garden. And
plants are expensive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've learned through my wife's shopping habits that plants are expensive. Turned into a clubhouse. So, going back to implementation. So are you changing the menu every year based on the honorees' tastes?
Absolutely.
And you can shout out your caterer, because that's a big task to undertake, because this is a meal for hundreds of people.
Yep.
Has to be timed right, because as you know, timing is everything when it comes to fundraising and feeding donors and keeping them happy. So, who's your caterer, and how varied have your menus been over the last 3 years?
The menus have been wild. Our caterer up until 2025 was the wonderful Lane Bell Catering.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually where I started working there when I was 15, worked for her almost a decade. And that's a huge part of my event experience is working in that industry. She has recently retired, very well-deserved retirements. And so this year we were thrilled to go with Park Avenue Catering.
Oh, okay. Bruce as well for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. We're thrilled. The next day after our event this year, they got the contract for next year. They're absolutely wonderful. They are our new caterer for the foreseeable future.
If their team tries to sell you on the bacon wrap dates, do it.
Yeah, bacon,
bacon wrap dates.
You had me at bacon.
Yeah, bacon wrapped anything pretty.
For the Irish event, it was a 7-course meal, a 6-pack and a potato.
One of the things I did love about the event, though, and for those watching on YouTube, you're seeing them now. For those listening on the podcast, you can go look at the blog post and I'll put them in there. You took the Broadway theme idea and ran with it in a way that really made it yours and made your donors feel special.
Yeah, so we always try to have a wow factor. Going back to the garden theme a couple of years ago, again, my wonderful director of events had seen this woman that was a performance artist. I still have not come up with a good way to explain this. The pictures don't do it justice. Nope. But there is this woman that plays a harp.
Yep.
Except the harp is 6 feet across, in our case, 7 feet up in the air, and the strings are 65 feet long.
Right. It stretched across the entire ceiling of the clubhouse.
Wow.
Yeah. I get chills just remembering it. It was a phenomenal showstopper.
Our bars were underneath. Auction tables were underneath. Everybody's mingling underneath. And it wasn't just the copper strings, the wires going across. And I still have to fix those holes in the wall. I keep forgetting about those. But she had to tune. She had a little, I think they're wooden butterflies and little bolts on them, and she would tighten them and loosen them to adjust the strings. And so there was this, kind of decoration. We saved a lot on chandeliers that year, which is great, but really incredible showstopper, also part of the theme, also background music. But we always try to come up with something big that fits with the theme. So this year, to finally get to your lead in there, we tried to take the same games room and turn it into Times Square.
Right.
And so we took Broadway Broadway posters, of yep. course, with all of the appropriate permissions, and customized them to fit to recognize our sponsors.
Yep.
And so I remember a wonderful donor out of San Francisco named Susan Lowe. She was Hairspray. Silverado,
Wicked,
Silverado Contractors were Mamma Mia. Yeah, we had all sorts of Broadway shows.
There was Lion King. Like, yep. And they're all, and they're big. I mean, I remember looking up the wall thinking, those are 6 by 8.
And that, those are 15 feet up in the air. Yeah, so they were even bigger than that.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
And what did you?
Yeah, I was thinking you could give those to the sponsors afterward. They'd probably be thrilled.
What a great idea, Devon.
We did.
Really?
Yeah. And if any sponsors, yes. And if any sponsors are watching, we still have some in our office. We'd love right. for you to pick them
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
Please come get them.
Yeah.
I think they're a couple of them are adding onto their homes to be able to fit them. They're that big. That might be the delay.
They were ginormous for us.
It was fun. It was 40 feet long, 15, 19 feet high, something like
wow,
that, just
wow.
kind of wallpapered up there.
Yeah.
And then the Lux Productions, who we've been working with for a number of years, did a phenomenal job really, you know, lighting them, making them come to life. And it really felt like Times Square.
Yeah. I remember looking up and thinking, oh, cute, Broadway posters. And then I got closer. I was, actually customized Broadway posters to fit then and then it dawned on me like, oh, these are all the sponsors. Like that is just
chef's kiss on the messaging.
Yeah, that is just top notch. Well done. Right there.
We use them in our program for the sponsor ads as well, so people could see them there. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's good. That's good tough. And inevitably when there's a theme that lends itself to it, we always try to do an auction lot. Like yes. we have a conversation. Part of the conversation that we have every year is, what's the theme? Are we able to incorporate an auction lot into it? And so for Top Gun, didn't we do a ride in a fighter jet for Top Gun?
We talked about it.
Yeah, we didn't do it.
It came to mind.
Yeah, and for Broadway, obviously we did a trip to New York. But I mean, I think it's if you've got a theme for an auction, it's nice to have a nod to it in the auction, but you don't have to spend the entire auction trying to theme to it, right? So the entire and the titles and everything every one of them doesn't have to be.
Yep.
So it wasn't like every single auction lot was a nod to some, you know,
with some
it's pun, a wicked dinner,
pun, yeah, some kind of New York pun.
I mean, I think you get some natural, if you do the job well, you get some natural momentum out
right.
of the theme. So, leaning on that a little bit, but not too much. So you mentioned we had the New York package was quite popular. We had a great gift from the New York Yankees. And so folks got to enjoy a game from the general manager's suites, enjoy pregame festivities on the field. And then we had a stay in New York and show tickets. So that was pretty fun.
And whether you're a Yankees fan or not, you have to know that the general manager's suite is going to be really good.
Yeah, that's pretty safe bet right there.
Worth the trip.
I think
worth
you have trip. To cheer for the Yankees. I believe there's a Seinfeld episode on that same topic, actually. So
if you're in the general manager suite,
whatever you're a fan of, you should make sure you wear Yankees.
Yeah, well, that's funny.
And I love how the using the posters really ties into the idea that if we are intentional, that it can benefit your event. Like it's great for the wow factor. Mm. It's great for the theme and making it feel like Times Square. And it's great wearing your marketing hat because the sponsors are going to be thrilled that they got called out in that way. So
it makes going back to them easier the next year, I presume.
My team will tell you if I can knock off a couple different line items on the budget with one thing, I'm thrilled.
Yeah. It's an opportunity, right? A theme's an opportunity. Yeah. Comes with challenges, but it's an opportunity.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think we've seen plenty, probably all of us have seen plenty of challenging themes for good and bad. And we'll get to one of those in just a second. I want to take a moment and hit our sponsor because Black Tie and Tails is brought to you by our partner and sponsor, Sojourn Ventures. When your auction is in need of some international travel, check out Sojourn Ventures. They curate trips to Bali, Spain. And I looked it up, Devo. They now have 3 options in Italy, Cortona, Venice, and Puglia in the Salento region.
Puglia,
where your bidders can spend a week on the coast at the heel of Italy's boot. Just sounds lovely.
I'm in.
All of their trips have reasonable consignment prices. Sojourn offers over a dozen curated packages that include round-trip airport transfers, full-body massages, daily breakfast, in-home chef dinners, and more. Your buyers will enjoy top-level concierge service and two full years to redeem their trip, all at reasonable consignment pricing. Check out SojournVenturesTravel.com or look for the link in the bio of this podcast. So we talked about the great themes at the Sweetheart, and I have Devo and I both have theme stories. I think we'll go with the bad theme first so we can end on a positive note.
Theme, this is going to be great.
So I'm working with an organization in San Francisco. This is years and years ago. And they do work out near the Farallon Islands. Okay. So they're very nature and preservation and conservation oriented. And the owner of the space in which we're doing the event, a big philanthropist in San Francisco, like eccentric but fun guy. He funded and maybe I'm giving some things away. He and his wife, before she passed away, funded a lot of like Burning Man art installations around town. Like really, and he has this space that people can hold events. It went through a phase of being like the it space for a while. And I'm meeting with the committee, and we're talking through all of the things. And it's the first committee meeting, you know, and we're talking through and we're okay, so, you know, how many auction lots are we talking about? What's the flow of the evening? Is there going to be a sit-down dinner? And they're like, okay, well, I'm like, is there a theme? And they're like, yes, there is. I'm going to let you get that drink down before I tell you. And
so they don't do the splutter.
So we don't get a spit take on the microphone. I'm like, what's the theme? They're like, the blue ball. And I'm like, no, seriously, what's the theme? And they're like, the blue ball. And I'm like, okay, I'm not the only guy on this conversation. I can't be the only guy thinking this.
That seems sounds frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, trying to tap into some pent up fundraising, I guess. But I'm like, so wait, why? Why is the theme the? I'm not the only one who's thinking this, right? And they're like, well, our donor insisted. Like they are insisting that we call this the blue ball. I'm like, why? Well, you know, like Earth is a big blue marble. It's the blue ball. We're all part of this.
That's the first I thought of what you just said. I didn't tell that until now.
That's where my head went first immediately.
Environmentally conscious.
Absolutely.
And I was like, well, I mean, I can wear my blue vest, but. Seriously, tell me we're not doing auction lots that are themes to this anyway. And they're like, no, they're very like they went back and they're like, no, they're like the donor was kind of frustrated that we even mentioned changing the theme. They're like, no, why would you? This is the theme that I want. And to be totally fair, the donor not only was sponsoring the event, but also letting them use the event space for free, right? And so sometimes you get saddled with a theme that you might not want to have to ride all the way through. And boy, I took that metaphor too far, especially given the nature of the double entendre of the theme. But that one, there have been other bad themes, right? Like I've had other, and I'm sure you could pull something out really quickly, but not to put you on the spot. Like I'm trying to think of other bad themes, but
I did right before the COVID, before the market crashed, I did like a whole year of multiple Great Gatsby Roaring 20s kind of events. And so it had a little extra special resonance when everything went kaput there for a while.
Yeah.
That was our theme the year before. The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come.
It's a great theme, just not ideal timing.
Yeah, we talked about it's like so ironic to like, but I mean, you were one of the lucky events in 2020 to get your event off the pandemic struck. I remember the last event I did was March 5th or 6th.
Me too.
First weekend of March. And there was just this weird vibe of everybody. Like, it didn't matter what the theme was. Everybody was just like, oh my gosh, what's this? And the theme from that point forward was like, my life is a yellow light. Close your eyes, hold your breath, and punch it.
Oh, I remember I came out of the post-sweetheart kind of fog where you don't hear about anything in the news. You don't talk to friends. Or just a few weeks where you're just, you know, buried in work. And it's like, wait, what's this COVID thing everybody's talking about? And
oh, you'll find out.
Yeah, we found out.
Yeah, we found out. You said you had a good story, Devo. So let's end on a good theme story.
I do. So, you know, we talked about you and your various blue balls that you had, and this one actually is a color theme that is positive. It was for a school here in Sonoma County. And you know, when you're doing the first consult, you always say, what's the theme? at least to write down what vest color you're going to wear. Right. And I said, what is the theme? And they said, colors. And I said, okay, like you want to expand? And they said, no, that's it. The theme is colors. So I hadn't ever done one exactly like that before. And I guess the same way they were vague with me is they were vague with the guests. And they just said, the theme is colors. There you go. And they had in the space where we ran the auction, there were different sections that were different colors. So you could go sit in the color that you had chosen. And it was so interesting. Like everyone had their own take. A couple would come dressed in the same color. Hmm. A couple would come dressed in contrasting colors. Hmm. Some people came in black or white or rainbow or half top one color and bottom the other color. Like everyone had their own, you know, because they left it so open and just made it colors. Everyone had their own take on it. And then I really noticed that it was such a conversation piece during the reception, right? Everyone got to marvel at everyone right. else's outfit, even if it was very simple. Like, oh, well, here's why I chose this color. And, blah, blah, blah. And then when they sat down, everyone was part of the theme. And like everyone, it felt cool. Like everyone was adding to the magic of the night.
It's very inclusive and community building.
Yes. And not just the gregarious people who right. get out there and like lean into the theme.
Glitter rainbow suit guy.
Right. The guys that are like talking lines from Top Gun at the Top Gun right. one. Right. But even the
flight suit, we had multiple flights.
Oh, I bet year. Aviator yep. shades were in full effect.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
We gave them out, but yeah.
Yeah. Door prizes.
At the table. But anyway, keep going.
But even the people that were like reserved were very much part of making the theme work because they didn't have to do anything but just be there in that color. And so it was simple, but it ended up being really inclusive and really easy to kind of wow the eye and make the night feel special. So there are other colors besides blue, I guess is what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, and I think no color themes are fun. I think the Red Cross of the Bay Area used to do the Paint the Town Red, which, I heard good and bad things from attendees because they're like, it's a great excuse to have to buy a brand new red dress every year. And then after 5 years, you're like, how many red dresses do I need? I'm like,
I am doing a Red Cross this year in San Francisco, and I've done them before. And the first year I did them, I didn't ask them their theme, and they didn't have a theme as far as I knew. And so I wore a blue vest.
Oh!
And then when I got there, I was so patriotic, you know, and I was like, idiot. You don't have to ask. They're the Red Cross. You don't have to ask.
Yeah.
But they had you back. So, you know, clearly surpassed the
and
best
obviously
choice.
I wore green the next time. Yeah. So give it a Christmas vibe.
That's right. Yeah, an event in June. That makes complete sense. Right. And when I hear colors, my first thought goes back to the Ice-T song soundtrack for I'm a Nightmare Walking, Microphone Stomping, Colors.
Oh, yeah. Directed by Dennis Hopper.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Directed by Dennis Hopper with Sean Penn.
That's a good pull.
Yeah.
That's
and
a good pull.
Robert Duvall.
A good pull all the way around. So let's jump into takeaways. And I think one of the takeaways is getting your supporters or your committee's buy-in from the very beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with theme, it can go so many different directions. And just to give a couple more examples from the Top Gun year, instead of doing a red carpet or a long carpet, we had a runway. Mm. We had a custom printed vinyl runway that went down from the entrance about 80 feet out from our front entrance. And we actually customized it to the call letters, numbers of the ship that our honoree will stage. So there's lots of little personal touches and stuff.
Those are good at levels of attention.
And probably two people out of 250 notice, but those are the two most important people to notice.
Those are the two.
Right. But I even think guests that don't get some of those other touches understand, hey, there's an 80-foot long runway down the front. Yeah. Or this year we had a marquee for our Broadway theme. And just some of those things, you can double dip the theme and the signage, and it just really helps pull it all together.
Well, and that leads to the next takeaway, which is embrace the theme, right? If you're going to have a theme, don't try to put it off to the side and pretend like, oh, yeah, we've got this theme, but that's not really what we're about. I mean, if you're going to have a theme, go for it and embrace it. And I think the Sweetheart is a great, exemplifies that well every year.
Yeah, thank you.
And one of the things that your comment about people colors and not really telling people, I think it's important for events to, I love a mood board for an event. If I'm not sure how to dress, I love a Pinterest mood board or some other mood board where I can go get a look. So what, like, and so communicate your theme to your attendees. Tell people, what is it that we are hoping you're going to dress like? I work with Paramount Theater in Austin, Texas, and thank goodness every year they do a mood board, because I would not know what to do otherwise. I mean, and last year's theme was rockabilly, and I'm like, how rockabilly do your people go? And they're like, all the way. Like, they had a tattoo parlor set up at their thing. You can get tattoos.
Temporary tattoo.
No.
Oh, whoa.
That is commitment.
That's commitment.
They also had DIY silk screen shirts. You know, I mean, they had like this, but anyway, I'm off and running. So this year I get to open for Lyle Lovett.
Wasn't it Joan Jett?
Last year it was Joan Jett. Good memory by you. And actually, I don't think last year was rockabilly. I think that was 2 years ago. I think last year it was more just like straight up punk. But this year it's Lyle Lovett. I'm like, well, I don't. And they're like, mood board. And I went and looked. I'm like, oh, okay, great. Like, you can go look. So
I have a vest for that.
Yeah. Actually, and the vest for that is no vest.
You opened up for the Chicks with us.
That's true.
Speaking of COVID. That's true. COVID galas.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get to call it opening up for when, like, we do an auction and then somebody else goes on stage, right? I've opened for the Doobie Brothers numerous times, which that's a different story entirely. And I think there are events where the theme is every year, right? I mean, the theme is consistent across the years. Like, this is the, you know, Vino de Mayo, right? We're having it's a wine auction in May, and every year it's the same, and you know what that's going to be. But you have the Sweetheart with the sub theme that changes every year. Right. And it's another example of that the theme can change while maintaining the consistency of the event with all the aforementioned everything hanging in, like commitments and getting people on board. And
yes, you have to buy a new dress every year or a new outfit every year, but you also get the fun of planning a fresh outfit and a fresh way to show up as part of that theme.
Point.
Yeah.
Good point.
We help keep Greg's vest stock, where, you know, really ever expanding.
Yes. Robust.
In my bow tie stock, yes. Ever expanding.
Now, one of the themes that we had talked about for this podcast had been professionals versus volunteers. And we might still do an episode on that, but you had a story that I was like, oh my gosh, it wasn't long enough to base the whole episode around it,
but
it is a real, it like just underscores what we always believe in terms of pros versus volunteers.
Yes. So I'll start off the story by saying I've worked at a lot of different places in my career, a lot of different nonprofits, put together hundreds of events probably over the years. At one of those events, I had an employee whose husband volunteered to help work the bar. It was really nice of them. Great. Thank you. We're a little short-staffed. Best I can tell, he served himself one beer and then decided he was a guest. There's no bar setup. There's no bartending of actual guests. Just, yeah, I'll have one of those. And then I'm going to go to the other side of the bar and enjoy the rest of the event.
I love one beer break time.
Yeah, exactly. I've done enough here. I love. And so it sounds like that guy was just using that as a ticket to get into the event.
Yes, he absolutely was. Yeah.
That's
which at much peril potentially to his spouse, who was an employee. Like, I couldn't imagine doing something like that.
Well, you know, I think we've all seen enough events to know you just never,
I'm sure that conversation in the car went really well on the way home.
He was conscious for it. I mean,
That wasn't the only beer he enjoyed that night.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. There's somebody else took over the bar after that, I presume. Well, thanks, Michael. Totally appreciate you being on our show and for hosting us on site at the club. Love the work that you do and honored to be part of your fundraising and a partner on that. And thank you, watchers and listeners, for joining us for this episode of Black Tie and Tales. We appreciate you. And as always, you can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, and all of your favorite podcast distribution channels. You can also find it at blacktieandtails.com. Be sure to hit that like and subscribe button.
Smash that like button.
And we'll see you next time.